the week's cases for the week ending November 14th, 2025, by Alvin Astor, LA County Public Defender's Office. Statistical data and facts of the arrest suffice for a hearing on an RJA violation. Effective 1/1/21, the Racial Justice Act, RJA, bars convictions and sentences tainted by racial bias, Penal Code Section 745A. The defense made an RJA motion, but the judge denied it without an evidentiary hearing. The defense presented a 1999 study concluding that Latinos were detained for traffic stops in San Jose substantially more often than any other racial group. A defense expert opined that the San Jose police engage in pretext stops of minorities, and that in this very case, the police abandoned the basis for the stop within 7 seconds. The Court of Appeal confirms that statistical data is admissible to establish a prima facie showing of an RJA violation. See Bonds, 99 Cal App 5th, 821, 830-831, and that the showing here was enough to require an evidentiary hearing. Next, the defense claims that a violation of the RJA is established by the officer's justification for patting down the driver and the defendant, the passenger, based on the stop taking place late at night and both the driver and the defendant wearing baggy clothing that concealed their waistbands. The defense offered an article from the NPR website saying that police perceive clothing and ethnicity as a strong indicator of criminality. The defense expert's declaration that only 10% of white drivers were searched for contraband, while 20% of Latino drivers were searched. The Court of Appeal rules that this was enough to compel an evidentiary hearing. Finally, the arresting officer made statements that showed that the officer assumed on the basis of race that the defendant was a felon. Each of these factors, whether separately or in conjunction, established that the defense made a sufficient prima facie showing to require an evidentiary hearing. Hernandez v. Superior Court, H052774-11725-CA6th. Prejudice required for reversal for Batson-Wheeler error. A decade ago, a court of appeal considered a case where the judge granted a Batson 476 U.S. 79 Wheeler 22 Cal 3rd 258 motion against the defense for kicking off Caucasian jurors, Singh 234 Cal App 4th 1319. The Singh Court of Appeal didn't resolve the issue of whether Caucasians are cognizable groups so that their exclusion triggers a group bias claim for a Batson-Wheeler challenge, instead finding no prejudice. The Singh Court of Appeal ruled that a defendant can obtain reversal for Batson-Wheeler error for reseating an excused juror only if the defense can show prejudice. We'd have to show that, quote, an objectionable juror in fact acted in any manner during deliberations that is inconsistent with an unbiased fact finder, close quote. Of course, if we could show that, we'd be entitled to reversal for jury misconduct independent of the Batson-Wheeler error. This Court of Appeal restates Singh and relies on it to affirm, hey, what about CCP section 237.1? The Court of Appeal correctly describes 237.1 as follows, quote, if the reviewing court concludes the trial court erred in denying an objection, the error shall be deemed prejudicial, the judgment shall be reversed, and the case remanded for a new trial, close quote. How much clearer could this be? This Court of Appeal quotes 237.1 but never discusses it, limiting their discussion to Batson-Wheeler. They say, quote, we need not decide whether the court complied with 237.1, close quote. Why not? Because even if the judge erred by violating 237.1, quote, the error was harmless and does not require reversal, close quote. Huh? What about 237.1's provision saying that a violation of 237.1, quote, shall be deemed prejudicial, close quote. Outrage of the week. Field versus Tompkins, B330660, 11725 CA 2nd Division 3. Parole eligibility precludes finding a sentence is functionally equivalent to LWOP. This week's Justice Yeagan special. Penal Code Section 1170D1 allows juvenile sentenced to life without parole, LWOP, to petition for resentencing. In Heard, 83 Cal App 5th 608, the court held that denying juvenile offenders who have been sentenced to the functional equivalent of LWOP, FLWOP, the same opportunity to petition for resentencing violates equal protection. See also Sorto 104 Cal App 5th 435 and Bagsby 106 Cal App 5th 1040 agreeing with Heard. The age of 17, this defendant was sentenced to 79 years to life. There's a dispute about how long a sentence must be to qualify as FLWOP, but that's not the issue here. Instead, Yeagan says that eligibility for a youth offender parole hearing, YOPH, after 25 years, pursuant to Penal Code Section 3051, moots the claim that the client is serving FLWAP regardless of the length of the original sentence. Since the Cal Supremes have granted review on this issue in Ortega, formerly at 111 Cal App 5th 1252, they will surely do so here as well. Peel v. Lara, B 341-682, 1022-25 CA 2nd Division 6. Amputation of a leg qualifies as paralysis for a GBI enhancement. Penal Code Section 12022.7a adds prison time when a defendant personally inflicts great bodily injury on a GBI on a victim while committing a crime. Penal Code Section 12022.7b adds much more time for personally inflicting GBI causing the victim to be paralyzed. This provision applies if the defendant's conduct causes the victim to suffer paralysis or become comatose due to brain injury. Paralysis is defined as, quote, a major or complete loss of motor function resulting from injury to the nervous system or to a muscular mechanism, close quote. The Court of Appeal says that expert testimony is not required. The victim's right leg was severely damaged in the accident caused by the defendant driving while under the influence of alcohol. The swelling from the injuries made the victim susceptible to infection, and an infection led to amputation of the leg. The Court of Appeal says that this qualifies as, quote, a major loss of motor function, close quote. The Court of Appeal affirms application of the enhancement. Peel v. Feist, C-101-541, filed 9-25-25, published 10-21-25, CA 3rd.